Good morning.
Ooh.
Good morning. It's wonderful to see everybody this morning. I'd like to express my heartfelt thank you for your hospitality from the Cary congregation. The work that you're doing here is absolutely wonderful. To the elders, the compliments that you give the students, that the Lord's church needs more faithful men, goes to the elderships as well. Your shepherding of the flock is greatly needed, and we thank you for having the foresight to have schools such as this one here and to support these men as they go in to do the Lord's work. I'd like to ask you a question this morning. When you were a teenager, and if you are a teenager, what were the most dreaded words that you might hear from your father? To me, it's usually on a Saturday morning. I would get up bright and early. It was at least 11 o'clock. And I would stroll into the kitchen looking for the Cheerios or whatever it was. And Dad would be there sometimes with a cup of coffee, leaning against the kitchen countertop. And he'd say, "Son, sit down. Let's have a talk." Ugh. The most dreaded words that my father could say, because I knew for the next 3 hours of my life, I was going to be miserable, or what I thought was miserable, as a teenager. He had some advice that he wanted to give me, something that he wanted to impart to me that would help me in the future. And oh, I was ready to listen. And I also knew from my father that when that cup of coffee was empty, the talk was over. That was my gauge of time. If I glanced at the clock, you'd get a talking to. And so I noticed that cup of coffee was about empty. And I glanced at that coffee, and he saw me do that. "Son, get me a warm-up, would you?" So I filled it about half full, brought it back, got the eyebrow. He didn't say a word. Filled it up. We talked for another couple of hours. I hated that with all my heart. But at the same time, I have come to a point in my life to where my son is 14 years old. And no, I don't think about revenge, but I do realize what my father was trying to do. He was trying to make my life easier. He was trying to give me a heads up, if you will. He didn't want me to necessarily have to go through all of the same things that he went through, all of the hard knocks. He wanted me to have it a little bit simpler. And as parents, that's part of what we want for our children, is it not? Think about a young man named Timothy, learned the scriptures from his mother, was a preacher of the gospel, an evangelist, a protege of the great apostle Paul. Paul had some advice that he wanted to give to Timothy, a young man probably in his 30s, maybe his mid-30s, at an age to where he knew God's word, he knew the scripture, he knew what Paul had to tell him, he was willing to take it out into a world that would listen, but also to a world that would persecute him. Paul had some things to say, knowing that Timothy was not old enough to be an elder at around age 50 or to be considered of that age of a group of men where he would be respected. It seems to be that there may have been some false teachers at Ephesus that looked down upon Timothy, or who would look down upon Timothy as he tried to proclaim the word of God. Read with me, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul says in one sentence to this young man some words of wisdom that we need to heed today. "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in spirit, and in purity." One simple sentence that speaks to our hearts. Paul says to Timothy, "I need you to be an example. But as you're being that example, let no one despise your youth. Let no one look down upon you because of your age. We would call that age discrimination today. And it goes both ways. Sometimes we're looked down upon as we get older. But this young man had the words of God to preach. He had the words of Christ behind him, and Paul is giving him the advice, let no one look down upon you, because if they look down upon you because of Christ, they look down upon Christ. Let no one despise your youth. Rather, here's what you do. You don't argue it with words. You don't get up in their face. You don't come to fisticuffs. Be an example to the believers. Be an example to the believers. I think we can all understand what Paul is trying to say. Ladies, in your purse, you probably have some coins. Gentlemen, in your pocket, I'm sure that you have some coins of some sort. There's a quarter here. Millions and millions of these have been minted through the years. In general, they all look the same. Heads or tails. Have the eagle on the back. It says United States. Has the head on the front. It says Liberty across the top. Everyone can recognize that quarter. One after another has been minted. No matter where you go, they're the same, are they not? They're the same. Timothy, I need you to be the same no matter where you go. I need you to be consistent. You must be an example to the believers. Arguing theology is easy. It's easy. We argue words all the time. People get up in each other's face and they say one thing and they say another and it just escalates. But how hard is it, brothers and sisters, to argue against an example? If you have the booklets with you that have the outlines in them and you're taking any notes at all, I want you to write down this little bit of wisdom. Actions speak louder than words. And I'm pretty sure that just about every young person in the audience is going, okay, here we go. You sound like my dad. Actions speak louder than words. Timothy, I need you to be an example. I need you to be an example in word. Now we have the Word of God. We all have, most of us have it in front of us. We read it, we study it, we understand it. This is how we know the mind of God. This is how we know how to become a Christian. How we know that we can be saved. That there is a home waiting for us. But Paul wasn't encouraging Timothy to have a greater faith. He wasn't encouraging Timothy at this point to have a greater knowledge in the Word. What he was trying to tell people is you need to be an example in the things that you say within the brotherhood. You need to be an example in the things that you say to other people. They matter. You know, if we speak down to someone, they get an impression of us. If we come across as high and mighty and knowing more than somebody else, they get an impression of us. Good or bad. The way that we say things matters, and the Apostle Paul knew this. Harsh, condescending words can do harm, can they not? Loving words, compassionate words can build great relationships. You know, the right words can make all the difference with people. The right type of greeting can open doors. Timothy, I need you to be an example in word. Timothy, I also need you to be an example in conduct. You know, you can't say one thing and do another. Can you? Not without being called a hypocrite. Not without people thinking, well, you can't trust what he says. Because he's just going to go out and do something else. Paul says, I need you to be an example in your conduct, your way of life, the way you do things, Timothy. Remember this. People are watching. People can see that you're a Christian. Can they see that we're Christians? Do you just know that there is something different about that person? They're not part of the world. I remember a scene in a grocery store, you go down to the local Walmart or the Kroger or whatever, and you see a young lady, and she has her 2-year-old or 3-year-old with her, and they walk down the cereal aisle, and here come the Fruit Loops. I always loved Fruit Loops. Always wanted Fruit Loops. Knew it didn't have any Fruit Loops in the house. Mama, Mama, you see it happening. She's in a hurry, and she needs to get through the store. Honey, we have plenty of cereal at home. Not now. And it gets louder, does it not? Mama, next thing you know, there's a scuffle going on aisle 6. And a tantrum going on. And when you see that happening, and if you see that mother there, and she doesn't get a hold of that child, that's what my grandmother would say, does that leave you with an impression? Does it? If I did that, I'd have been gotten a hold of. At the same time, if you see a young man or a young lady and they find a wallet out in front of the store on the parking lot, they don't even open it up. They walk it inside and they give it to someone who works there. Does that give you an impression of the type of integrity that they're being taught? What kind of person are they going to grow into? The way that we conduct our lives matters, Christians. It's not just what we say and what we preach, it's how we live our lives. Timothy, your conduct matters. Timothy, also, be an example in love. And we know this type of love, it goes all throughout the Bible. Especially from our Lord and Savior. That type of agape, brotherly love, that type of benevolent love that would have us, to use the proverbial phrase, you know, give the shirt off your back to someone. We would do anything for each other that we could possibly do. I need you to see and to have that kind of love with people. John 3 and verse 13. Excuse me. Yes, John 3 and verse 13. A new commandment I give to you. Excuse me, this is John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, who will know that you're disciples? All. All will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And in 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love whom? One another. Paul is telling Timothy and reminding Timothy that you have to show love to the brethren. It follows, doesn't it? If you're going to tell somebody how they ought to live their lives, and if you're going to encourage someone and to show them, and you're going to show them the outward Christian, and don't you need that on the inside? Don't you need to be that Christian on the inside? If you have the love for one another and the love for Christ, the same type of love that He showed His world, it's going to show through. It's going to show through. Christ said also this, Matthew 22 and verse 39. You remember the greatest commandment, don't you? He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. But do you remember the second? Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you. Hold on just a moment. Think about what that verse says. We see that. Love one another. Love your neighbors. The idea here is love. There are people in this world, brothers and sisters, that are going to use you, take advantage of you, because you're a Christian. Because you have a good heart. Because you want to do what's right. They understand that. There are people out there that will spitefully use you. Jesus, what do I do about those people? Love them, brother. Love them. Talk to them. Show them the example that a Christian should be. Show them what kindness is. give them compassion even when you know they are taking from you. Maybe, when you plant that seed, it will be watered and it will grow. Maybe one day that person will be your brother or your sister, and you've saved a life. You've saved a soul. Timothy, you have to be an example in love. And it grows from there. Timothy, you have to be an example in faith. Do you believe that Paul is questioning Timothy's faith? I don't think so. Timothy has faith in God. He's an evangelist of our Lord and Savior. He's worked with Paul. He's going out on his own. So what is Paul trying to say? Timothy, maybe I would say it in this way. I need you to keep the faith, Timothy. I need you to keep faith with one another. That's what he's trying to get at. Have you ever known that person that if you got into a situation, they were just going to cut and run? They didn't have your back. I was in the military for 12 years. If I didn't have your back, your life was in danger. If you didn't have mine, my life was in danger, and I couldn't trust you to be there out in that field. I need to keep the faith with you. You need to keep the faith with me. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to keep the faith with each other. Do what you say you're going to do. Be there for each other. When times get hard, don't cut and run. Keep the faith. In Revelation, John records the word of Christ. Revelation 2 and verse 10. It says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. What does he say? Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Is Christ trying to say, believe in me until you die? These are faithful Christians. They're in jail. They're being persecuted because of their faith. I believe what Jesus is trying to tell us is, brothers and sisters, when times get hard, keep faith with me. Hold the faith. Stand at my side. Stand at each other's side. Timothy, when you get out there and they're looking down upon you because of your age, and they're trying to persecute you, and they're trying to tell you that you are teaching false doctrine, keep the faith with Christ. Keep the faith with Christ. You must be an example in faith. And everything that Paul says up to this point leads to this. The whole man, be an example in purity. Be the kind of person, although we are on this world and we're surrounded by sin and we live in sin and we are not perfect and we do sin, to strive to lead a sinless life. That's what I want you to do. That's your goal. That's your goal. To strive to lead a sinless life. You know, that goes both to not only our moral character, but our relationships with the opposite sex. Don't let there be anything in your conduct, brothers and sisters, that's going to give rise to a scandal. And it doesn't have to be between boyfriends and girlfriends. It doesn't have to be between adults who are not married. It's just your general moral character. If you're someone who is prone to lie about something, or to exaggerate great stories, you know, don't lead a life that's going to lead to scandal, to where someone's going to say, "Oh yeah, he's a great guy, but you can't trust anything he says." We don't want to see that. Christ does not want to see that. You know, our tabloids and the stories are full of scandal. People in this country, and I'm sure around the world, but especially in this country, feed off of a scandal. They do, don't they? There are people that make their living on that. Are there people that feed off of scandals in the religious world in general? Who's taking money from who, and Who ran off with what? And who's embezzling funds from there? And don't even get started in the political world. There's no scandal there ever, is there? People live off of a scandal. Do you think it was any different then? No. It was not any different in the time that Timothy was alive and preaching. I need you to be an example in purity. I need you, Timothy, that Christian, to be that beacon upon the hill, that light that can be seen. Our young children sing the song, do they not? We sang it. About the light. Christian light. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't hide it under a bushel. Be that person that can be seen, given the example to the world and to your brothers and sisters. But you know, there's one danger about being that light. You can be seen. Be a strong light. One that is steady. One that is pure. One that is solid and grounded in the Lord's work. Timothy, be an example in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. To sum it up in our words, Timothy, let your actions speak louder than words. Let who you are show. You don't have to say a thing. People will know. One sentence from the Lord's Word. One sentence from a letter written to a young man who's going to be a strong evangelist. To a man who is probably going to be one to carry the torch after Paul is gone. And he knows this. And he gives him some strong advice that speaks directly to our hearts today. So my question to you this morning, my question to the brotherhood in entirety is this. Can we be that example? Paul is speaking to us. Can we let our actions speak louder than our words? Thank you.